I would like to start with a pledge of allegiance. Mr. Thompson?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You got to start on time. Okay, we have a quorum. I see that we don't have our legal counsel here yet, but I'm sure he's on his way. He's not coming.
No legal counsel
no,
today,
we don't
President
need
Berger.
No legal counsel. Don't need it. Probably good. I did want to ask a question, though, of legal counsel, and maybe, Mr. Gruber, you can answer this question. I have a renter that wanted to buy a toilet, but we won't give them $50. We only give the $50 rebate to the owner of the property. Is that something that we could be flexible on?
Absolutely. The board's given me discretionary authority to be flexible on it. And I was talking to somebody in the gym today, and they kind of the same type of thing. They wanted a shower head and some aerators. And I said, do you rent? And he said, yeah. I said, just come by and get them, because I think it's important that
we
provide that.
Well, it's the $50 for a renter goes to Home Depot, pays his own money,
yeah,
and the landlord won't buy a new toilet. Will we be able to give that person the $50?
Yes, and we'll document the home, and we'll count it as water savings. So just have them get a hold of me, President Berger. I'll be more than happy to help them out.
Okay,
anybody else who is in that situation also. And really, we do have we have rebate money in our conservation budget, and I'm surprised that more people have not taken advantage of some of the rebates that we're offering right now. I know that my wife went out and bought a brand new wash machine, and we got a nice check from the district, and I've got my toilets replaced, and so there is money available for people if they want to take advantage of that and get rebates.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And the report from closed session, I know that there is no report from closed session, so we're going to let that be.
President Berger.
Yes.
Could you just, General Manager Gruber, sorry, before you get up. Could you just go quickly through? There's only a few rebates. Can you just go quickly through what they are?
Sure. And I may not capture them all. There's a $200 rebate for wash machines. There's a certain criteria that has to be met for that. Those are the high efficiency washers. There's a $50 rebate per low flow toilet, and there's also a $50 rebate for if you want to purchase a tank, so you can put non-potable water in that. You can purchase whatever size tank you want, and we give you $50 for that. We still have the hot water recirculation pumps available. Those are free of charge. Am I forgetting something? I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I think those are pretty much what's available out there, and just encourage you to come in and take advantage of those.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gruber. And when it comes to agenda review, additions and deletions, does anybody have any additions or deletions? I have a major change that I'd like to make in under regular business, item 5. I would like to move 5B in front of 5A. You'll see, because if we talk about the goals first, then we make assignments later. So if no one objects, we're going to switch 5A and B. For those that are here for the first time, perhaps there are some forms out that we request that you fill out in order to, if you have a need to speak. And I've got to mention that last month or a couple weeks ago, we got ourselves into kind of a fix on three occasions for sure. We didn't have speaker slips, and let me explain. If it's the first time, you should put down what item you want to speak for. So if you want to speak to 5B, you put 5B down. If you have just general comments, you should have general comments. But I had one instance where Mr. Farmer just came to the podium, and I didn't have a slip in front of me, and I forgot his name, and I called him my friend, and I hope that Mr. Farmer isn't disappointed with that, or I didn't hurt his reputation because I didn't mean to call him my friend if his reputation was hurt that way. Also, I had some person shout from the audience and wanted to join in a conversation. It wasn't a given point. The person had come several times before the podium, and I think that during that particular talk, without a speaker slip, they actually made personal remarks against an individual. So if you read the top of the slip, it says, please, no person will be permitted to make slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against an individual. I could say that all day. It's a free country. You can say anything you want. But please try and not do that. And most importantly, we had someone physically storm the podium when another person was talking. I think it was during the audit. And we had somebody addressing the board. Without a speaker slip, somebody came up and just started making comments and questions to the speaker. So please fill out a speaker slip. What I do is I write comments on the back, and then what I do is I watch the video, believe it or not, and then I see if we've answered most of the questions. A lot of people had questions, and maybe we'll address them today. So with that said...
Mr. Berger?
Oh, yes.
I think the key, though, key word is civility. And Michael Broadhurst wrote a very interesting letter to the editor today in the Cambrian, so check that out. And I think the key is to that we would like folks to be civil and respect other folks that are speaking.
Excellent point. And if you've said something once and you come back again and again and you say the same thing, even though you're posing it for a different subject, especially if you say something that's wrong, and you say it wrong three or four times, it doesn't make it more right. So... with that, I think we have public comment. I have but one slip for people to speak. And Susan Schauer, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to address the board yet again. I just had a question after reading the Cambrian, and I was concerned with the most recent spill of 168,000 gallons, approximately 225 units, I understand. And I'm interested in knowing if that's the same problem that caused the 200,000 gallon spill or some odd in October, and what steps are being taken to make sure that kind of travesty does not happen again.
Good point. During the general manager's report, I'm sure he will expand on that. So,
and the other concern I had is that with the new water requirements, there seems to be a big preference for business owners and businesses that they're required only to reduce to 80% of their past usage, whereas residents face a much more onerous restriction. And I'm wondering where you think the businesses will get their business when our friends can't visit us anymore, when people can't rent here, or are, you know, we as residents supposed to rent a room in the hotel so we can take a shower? So I'm not sure why the businesses have the preference that the residents do not.
Good point. I have Mr. Lou Blanc, followed by Andrew McComb.
Lou Blanc, former CCSD board member from the 96 to 2000 timeframe. And I heard something when I listened to the tape of the last meeting about a pipeline up to San Simeon. And I wish Mr. Carmel was here because this really is for his benefit more than anyone else's. But when I was on the board, Mr. Carmel's former partner, Roger Lyon, was our attorney. And Jim Stoddard, who was a former attorney with the State Attorney General's office, stood up and said to Mr. Lyon, that since he represented Hearst and also sat on the CCSD board, that he felt representing such a large corporation and a small town next to it was a conflict of interest. And within a few days, Mr. Lyon resigned. I don't know the status of Mr. Carmel with Hearst, but I wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you very much. Then we, again, it's Andrew McComb, followed by John McKinnon.
Hello. I just wanted to bring to the attention of the board that your system for reading the meters needs to really be looked at, since it doesn't, I don't know exactly how it does, but it doesn't read the last two digits, which give you a whole water unit. So if you're reading, and it's okay when you just have it loose, you know, and we're doing the water, it balances out over the year. But when you're doing this with somebody over, somebody could be have used a lot less than two units and be billed for over two units, you know, for two units. And the meter looks like they did that if you only read the white numbers. So somebody's got to, I mean, that's not really not going to be fair.
Thank you. John McKinnon, probably followed by... Mahela Burton.
Good afternoon, everybody. I need to clarify some statements that were made at the last meeting and what was just made, that somehow businesses are getting some sort of a free pass with what was done. At Moonstone Beach Bar and Grill, we've had the CCSD come in and look at everything that we're doing there. I've been preaching this for years, that we don't waste any water. We have a business that requires water for sanitary reasons, and we use only as much as we need. So when you take 80%, you know, of an average for my year, you know, I know it was said at one point, and I think it gave a false sense of something, that, oh, just stop watering your plants. Well, I don't water plants, so there's no big savings there. I save everything that I can. So we're also seasonal. So this, the way, and it was, you know, I'm glad it was done, but major things will have to be done in the summer if we're under this. Things like actually closing for lunch and my brunch, and maybe only having the ability to do dinner. When I look at that, you know, a lot of people want to try and take some sort of moral high ground of who should get water or who shouldn't. I'm in the position that I have a house and a business. To me, it's a no-brainer. I've been in many committees where I had to kind of point this out to people. It's not about me making profit during these times or anything. It's about that I have 50 to 60 employees that are going to be out of jobs. You know, one person wanted to get up and say something about the poor people in this town. He also made some statements about how we all pay them minimum wage. I looked my records up, and we pay probably in excess of $20 an hour on average. And so when I look at it, the moral high ground is you know, I'm going to have people that have worked for me for years actually not being able to feed their families or having to move completely out of the area. And so, you know, it's not apples to apples to look at that percentage as being, you know, by units. At my home, I will have no problem staying under the usage, and which I'm already under it. Okay, so it's very easy to do at my home. Completely not able to do it at my business, and it'll cost me tens of thousands of dollars, because I will pay the $1,000, you know, fees that or 1,000% fees on water that I will go over my allotment. So it's not any sort of a free pass. And because of the seasonality of my business, my average is going to be ridiculously low when I use double that in the summer. And there's no way not to do it. You know, I'm going to go to some extreme things. I'm going to, right now, I'm buying baskets. We're going to do lunch on plastic. And we're going to use plastic for cups. We're going to do everything that we can. But, you know, we're not the only tourist destination. And if we have some long-term situation where I have a restaurant like mine that I'm serving people on plastic, they'll just start going somewhere else. So, you know, you don't just have the ability to make those changes and stick with them. I will go to extremes. I'll have to, and I'm willing to. I'm a good community member. So
Thank you.
Is no free pass.
Thank you very much. Mahela Burton, followed by Tina Dixon.
Good evening. Thank you, Mahela Burton. I'd like to just suggest that maybe restaurants, they could have porta potties, because that's sort of a no-brainer. I don't think people would mind going in and wiping their hands with little wipes. Hospitals use them, and the porta potties, wouldn't that be a good idea? And so that's a suggestion. But actually, what I came up here for is something that the conservation employee stated at the last CCSD meeting, Courtney Updegrove, rather gleefully talking about water police that have more CCSD personnel going around town, seeing if people are using potable water, and it, she sort of had a gleeful look on her face. I don't think that's a good idea. I think people are really being ethical, and you wouldn't know that I have a cistern that's filled by rainwater, so you can't see a spout outside on the street for me, and people are saving water in all kinds of unique ways. I think the better thing, if you have extra money, is to do what Tammy Reddick did. Reinstitute the policy where you read the meter and not expect people to do it themselves with those little gadgets, because that gets to be difficult for some people. But look at the computer, and when the water is on in any house for 24 hours, you know somebody's got a leak or they forgot they left the faucet on. Call them. Email them. That happened to me 7 years ago when we were on stage two. I got looked out in my yard because I have over an acre, and there was a little drip on one of the hoses. That will save water, but it saves people a lot of money. Because if you recall, in 2007, there were people that came up here with surcharges of $10,000, $5,000, $2,000, on and on and on. And there was a take no prisoners policy. You paid it. One person down on Ardeth, the sheriffs came to shut off his water. Director Rice remembers that. It's very scary. So it isn't so much having to bail water into a bucket to flush your toilet. It's, do you really want to go away for the weekend without shutting your water off? Think about that.
Thank you. Tina Dickinson, followed by John McGarry.
Good afternoon, Board. Tina Dickinson, Cambria. I'm going to respond to Mr. McKinnon, who only seems to show up at CCSD meetings when it's related to water and Prop 218s, where his and other businesses might be affected. I don't see him coming on a regular basis to attend CCSD meetings. But I'm going to say this, that when the residents who are already been trying to save so much since we heard, even before the crisis of August 31st. We had a special meeting September 9th and then the 20th. Then, after that, we were said no more watering of landscaping. But then we were told, oh, we can relax that to one day a week watering. Now we're reduced to one-third from 6 units to 4 units or 12 units to 8 units. I've talked to probably one of the most popular restaurant owners in town when I was having dinner there the other night. We were talking about the water situation, how restaurants could go even further. And I thought this years ago. Why do restaurants even serve water, our water? Why not just serve bottled water? It's a beverage. Pay a dollar for a bottle of water. What's wrong with that? Eliminate our water. And so I have a real, I know I'm not for plastic either, building up plastic, but in a drought, we have to take different measures. It isn't fun having a bath every 3 days and taking your water out to either flush your toilet or fall off your deck trying to water your plants. That's an issue. So while Mr. McKinnon and other business owners get to use 20% of last year's revenue, and tourism was up 30 to 35%. Really, it's very little effect on business. So I have a real problem with what he's having to say compared to what residents are having to go through. We're doing our best, and we're willing to do our best. But when you say, General Manager, this is no big deal back after the crisis hit, and then measures were taken to restrict water, then open it up. And Director Rice was the only one who said, why would we be doing this? We don't know what's coming down the road. She's the only one who had the foresight and the common sense to realize that you absolutely don't just change your mind when we're in a crisis. So you had to wait till the governor proclaims the crisis. And then, oh my God, this rush. There's no need for it. This should have been dealt with when some of us told you back in the spring to take action. Emergency 1, 2, 3, you didn't take any action on any of it. So I really have a problem with it, and I think Cambrians need to wake up to the leadership of this town, because it's about as dismal as it gets. And now it's going to cost us to get out of this mess, according to your plan, is really, it's beyond what we should any of us have to do. Thank you.
Thank you. John McGarry, and I have Mr. Blanc again, and I prefer not to do it. If you're very brief, I can put you on again. But John.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much. The recent dilemma that we're in has been the focus of an awful lot of conversation between myself and neighbors, and one of the recurrent concerns that many of us have is, in the event the desal, the portable desal system is viewed to be impractical, is there a backup plan?
Yeah.
Is there or not, or does Mr. Gruber speak to that? I wonder.
Maybe we'll just make your comments, and we can't really.
Oh, okay. Respond. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Blanc.
Actually, my speaker slip was that I put in was for item 5D, but since you gave me the opportunity
5B.
To speak again, I will. two things that I wanted to bring to your attention. The question that just came up, when we had a water emergency and I was on the board, we were able to make an agreement to purchase temporarily the water rights of Jan Podody and Clyde Warren, and it was plenty to get us through the water emergency. And it was very inexpensive compared to what you're proposing. In addition, we have purple pipe that was installed when I was on the board down Moonstone Beach Drive. It would not take a whole lot to make the water Title 22 compliant so that that purple pipe could be used by all the businesses on Moonstone Beach Drive to even flush their toilets with.
Thank you. Daniel Krayak, followed by Harry Farmer.
Daniel Krasick.
Krasick.
Full-time resident. God, I'm going to start by saying I wish Lady Gaga were here and at the last meeting, and primarily to hear the public comment prior to her agreement to donating money for research to the CCSD. I'll get back to that in a minute. What I'd like to address primarily is the issue of the commercial rate reductions of 20%. As was unanimously approved at the CCSD board meeting last meeting. My understanding of the new commercial rate situation is that as a restaurant owner here in town, my wife and I own a restaurant, we're going to be reviewed for the past 12 months usage. And then we're going to be asked, or it's going to be required of us, to reduce that by another 20%. If we go over that base unit allotment, it's going to be a 500% surcharge for every unit over that for the first infraction. Second infraction would be 1,000% and the risk of having our restaurant shut down or cut off from water. I looked at our numbers. I looked at our usage for the past 2 years. And here's what I found. Between 2012 and 2013, because we were proactive in reducing our water consumption, we reduced our consumption by 50% in 1 year time. Now we're being asked to reduce that another 20%. And what I would like to say is that for us, where we're at right now is bare bones. We're down as low as we can go. That 20% reduction would put us at roughly 10.5 units per month, which based on the chart, and I'm going to hold this up here so the camera can see it, the chart that was produced last meeting for residential consumers, that 10.5 units would be equivalent to a 5-person household. Now, our restaurant in the high season can serve upwards of 150 to 200 people per day. So the question I'm asking for the board, not that I need an answer, but how is it possible that a restaurant that can serve 150 to 200 people per day can be asked to use only 10.5 units, which is equivalent to a 5-unit household or a 5-person household? Okay, I'm going to move on because I have one or two other things to ask or to mention.
Please be brief.
I will. I checked with, I called the county health department. I spoke with Lori Salo. She's the supervisor of consumer protection section of the Environmental Health Services for SLO County. I asked three questions. I said, can we close our restrooms? She said, no. I said, can we shut down water in our restrooms at the sinks and provide hand sanitizer? She said, no. I said, this was suggested at the last meeting, could we use reclaimed water for mopping our floors? She said, absolutely not.
Wow.
These are the things that we would have to do if we were going to try to conserve another 20% over what we've already conserved over the past year. Now, one last thing. Why should Lady Gaga be here? I took a quick look at the CCSD master plan, which has not been updated since July of 2008. And I found a paragraph which says this: water is one of the most important limiting factors in the growth in Cambria. The CCSD has begun to reduce water demand and to secure a reliable water supply. My question is, why should the donation from Lady Gaga be appropriated to another research project when in 2008 the board had already documented that they were looking into securing a reliable water supply? Those are my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your comments, and we're going to try and keep them brief. Mr. Farmer, please.
Good afternoon. Yes. President Barringer, I heard that you made some comment about the last time when you said my friend instead of my name.
Yeah, and I didn't want to hurt your reputation by commenting.
I can do that on my own. I don't need any help there. But what I wanted to say is it was no problem. Like, if you forgot my name, if I had a dollar for every time I forgot somebody's name, I could pay the rent for the next 6 months. I just want to say briefly two things. First off, you know, last week, I guess I got my picture in the paper for having the two tubs by me. And then I was noticing that Lady Tie-Dye, who writes an excellent column in our paper every week, addressed the issue of water conservation and talked about, you know, using a cup to brush your teeth. You know, just put a little water in the cup, dip your toothbrush in, brush your teeth, rinse your mouth out, and so forth. I would encourage the board, if you could get all of these different suggestions, different ways of saving water at the home, and send them to everybody, you know, in both English and Spanish, because there's a lot of people out there, they're working, they're not necessarily be aware of everything they can do. A lot of people aren't necessarily aware of the crisis that we're in. And I think if you just took the time to mail to every residence the suggestions that they could use at the home. And who knows, a lot of people are already doing these things, and some people may be doing very little, if anything. Yet they would if they knew about what they could do. Right. So that's one suggestion. And also, and maybe I just missed it, didn't we used to have a sign at the entrance to town? And if it's still there, then I guess I need new glasses. Well, we used to have a sign, I believe, that said something like, water, Cambria's most precious resource, please conserve. Is this still there?
I don't know. There used to be one over here on this end and one on that end. I don't know.
There used to be one at the entrance, and then I remember they had to redo the signs and that type of thing. But whether some people don't want that sign there or not in this community, it needs to be up there because it was there before, and it really needs to be there now, and probably at both ends of town. Okay?
Good.
All right, that's it. Thank you.
And not only that, people need to know how to throw that water into the toilet to flush it, too. You know, people are putting it in the tank, and they don't know what they're doing. Bradley Zane is our last speaker.
I'll just make it brief. I'm Bradley Zane. I'm a full-time resident, and I live over on Berwick Drive. I don't think you guys are doing all that bad a job. You know, there's things here and there. But I'm confused. I read about the meetings, and I see the votes, and we vote in the elections. And I was under the impression that there was a referendum on a desal plant, yet there's people in the community, apparently, that are blocking that with lawsuits and other things, which baffles me. It's almost like a sore loser type of thing. And I also believe that we had an election that saw the majority of the board elected who actually was in favor of desal. I really don't see why we can't clear the way and get this done, because all of these other factors, half of nothing is nothing. And that's the situation with the rain. People that are proactive, brilliant. They need to be. We should be doing this anyway just because of the planet and the limited resources on the planet. But right now, I've invested my life, my resources, and my savings into a community that's essentially looking at building houses of straw. And I would really like to see more proactivity on moving the desal solution forward. Water could go to the community. The water that the community is using can go to ag, and it's a win-win for everybody. I just want to thank you very much for all the work. I know that this can be very trying.
Thank you, sir. Now, moving on. We're moving on to the general manager's report. This is a public comment, limited to 3 minutes. No. Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, Board President.
We can't discuss this.
General Manager's report update on emergency brackish water supply for the community of Cambria. Excuse me. I did do a press release yesterday, and I think pretty much everybody has seen it. Director Rice has a copy of it. Let me just go over there and read it.
Not over there with her. Everybody else did. I apologize for not getting.
But this would just be for me to summarize kind of where we are in the process. And one thing that I do agree on that I'm hearing consistently when under public comment is the fact that we don't communicate as well as we could, or sometimes in many instances we don't even communicate at all on some of the board actions that have been taken regarding trying to solve the water situation in the community. And we realize that at the staff level, and I think the board realizes that also, and we're going to make a much better effort in keeping you informed on what's going on, who we're meeting with, the progress that's being made. And so I think that's important, so you understand the situation, but you also understand what we're doing to resolve it. So, excuse me, if I could just under this particular item, I just wanted to read the press release that I did yesterday, and I'm not a PIO, but I thought it was just important to get something out because there's been a lot of activity going on at the board level. It says, since the CCSD Board of Directors' decision to move forward on January 30th, 2014, with an emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, a cooperative spirit of optimism and collaboration has taken place the last few weeks with multiple local, regional, and state agencies. The Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee, comprised of President James Berenger and Director Merrill Cliff, in addition to General Manager Jerry Gruber, District Engineer Bob Greshens, and Mara Garza from CDM Smith, whose firm will project manage the emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, continues to receive multiple regulatory agent support on the project. Since the emergency drought declaration was declared by Governor Jerry Brown and the prospect of Cambria running out of water within the next 3 to 6 months, a concerted effort by the CCSD, the California Department of Public Health, the State Water Resources Control Board, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the California Coastal Commission, State Parks, and Supervisor Bruce Gibson has resulted in a local, regional, and state effort to resolve the critical water situation in Cambria. CCSD staff has met with the California Department of Health and the Regional Water Quality Control Board, State Parks, and Supervisor Bruce Gibson to discuss the implementation of an emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, and have conducted numerous telephone conference calls with the California Coastal Commission and the State Water Resources Control Board. The results of these conversations have been very promising and represent an atmosphere of cooperation and support. The CCSD has contracted with CDM Smith to conduct a geohydrological evaluation of the lower San Simeon Aquifer to determine the most feasible location for an emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility. I know that's a mouthful, but that's what it is. Since time is of the essence, the geohydrological evaluation is anticipated to take 1 month to complete. The CCSD Board of Directors will be conducting a special meeting on Thursday, February 13, 2014 at 4 p.m., which is today, at the Veterans Memorial Building. One critical item on the agenda for the CCSD Board of Directors is the consideration of adoption of Resolution 06-2014, authorizing the General Manager to seek an emergency coastal development permit from the county for an emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, and requesting the County Board of Supervisors priority assistance in expediting processes for such an emergency permit. That covered a lot of information. That was the press release that was released yesterday, and we'll have more of those forthcoming, and we'll do our best to continue to keep everybody informed on what's going on. If you want to come in and talk to me and staff, feel free to. And with that, that's my verbal presentation on the project under my general manager's report, President Berenger and board members. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Rice, do you have something? You can expand your comments if you want.
Put my timer up for 3 minutes. First thing I'd like to say is that one of the reasons why I had a problem, a little bit uncomfortable with that 20% for business, but a specific number of gallons for residences or units, because it's gallons is kind of, is because specifically because of this trouble with folks like Mr. McKinnon, and I'm sorry, I forget your name, sir, who came up and talked about the fact that he had reduced his water use. There are businesses that have already reduced to about the most minimum that they can and still stay open, and there are other businesses that have not done that. And both kinds of businesses get 20% off of their last year's bill. So if you waste a lot, then you have a lot more room to wiggle. If we had revamped the EDU allocations for the businesses, which is what the Water Emergency Alternative Citizens Committee recommended in 2009, then we would know how many units each business would actually be using, and we could do an allocation like EDUs like we do with the residential, and it would not have this feeling of unfairness for both the people who are businesses that are doing everything they can, because health and sanitation, especially if you're a restaurant or the grocery store, I mean, there's only so many things you can do within the law. And so I just wanted to, if we beat up on each other, then we're just not going to ever get anywhere. So it's a matter of we have to pull together to figure out how to do it right, so that people feel like that what's happening is they're being treated fairly. And that's kind of why I had the objection, because we do have these situations, and hopefully the general manager will take those things under advisement, because I think he has a little bit of leeway in these things. So, I mean, I appreciate the folks that did bring that up. I also hope that we get some conservation hints and tips. I think it's a great idea, Harry. Thank you.
Anybody else? If I could expand ever so slightly, and maybe on Lady Gaga, but right now we're the Water Resources Ad Hoc Committee is very focused on providing water for Cambrians. That's the key. And we're hoping that we can, on July 1st, have a new water resource. That's the key, and that's what we're focusing on. There is an opportunity with some wells on state parks, or there's something up in San Simeon. But what the Water Resources Ad Hoc Committee is focusing the general manager and CDM Smith on is water on July 1st for Cambrians. If other people want to expand on that, if people have other opportunities to build on that, that's fine. But they, our dollars, we have enough financial resources to achieve the goal. We have enough studies done to achieve the goal of providing brackish water for Cambrians, and so that's the focus. Then we have member and committee reports. Is that the same thing?
Mr. President,
yes, sir.
Just a point of clarification. I've heard the fact that someone's going to get $25,000 from Lady Gaga to do something, and I don't know anyone that really knows what that something is. Could you expand, Mr. Gruber?
I'd be more than happy to. As President Berenger said, there's been some preliminary dialogue with state parks regarding this brackish water alternative, and that was communicated. Well, let me go back. One of the concerns was when the filming went on up there was the fact that they had to truck water in, and that really brought that to fill the pool, the Neptune pool, and to fill the pool inside. So I can't speak for Lady Gaga, but that really resonated with her, and she saw that that they had to truck water in from outside. At that point in time, from what I understand, Nick Franco was telling her and explaining to her about the urgency of the water situation, not just with Cambria but San Simeon and the state parks, because Hearst Castle's having to truck it in also, and so that resulted in a check to the CCSD that was given to our district engineer for evaluating the two wells that are currently on state parks property, and to see if those wells could be part of the solution. Those two wells in particular, from what I know about them, are very old. They're very small in diameter. I think one is a 2-inch well, one's a 4-inch well. They don't have sanitary seals. But that's what the money will be used for, and we'll make sure that it's properly accounted for and coding and everything like that. So,
okay, if we do, we do have a slip to speak, Ms. Dixon, on 4A. Yeah,
Tina Dickinson, General Manager, on your report, I would like to know if any of the agencies that you referred to for the portable desal unit have had any applications made to them, and have any permits been given out for any of the hydrogeological testing. So that's the question is, have any applications been submitted, and have any been executed?
That'll be item 5D.
He just talked about it in his report.
I'm just saying item 5D does allow him to do it. I'm just
President Berenger, this was the general manager's report.
Yes.
I heard what he said.
Yes.
Because I've been seeing equipment going down Highway 1, turning into the percolation pond area, big pieces of equipment, I'd like to know what's going on there. Okay? So I'd like to know if you have permits already and why this equipment is going down San Simeon Creek Road. I followed them. And then to the percolation into the gates, I would like to know. There was a huge trailer with a little hut, and then a very large vehicle that had cylindrical-shaped units on either side of it, followed by a great big CCSD truck. That was last week. I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. And I asked Mr. Finnegan if there was any work being done, any testing. He wasn't aware of any. So I'm asking now, the engineer's not here, but the general manager certainly should know, with the report he gave just a few minutes ago as to whether any applications have been made and if any have been indeed given out for this so-called project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Any board comment on, are we saying that A and B is really complete?
Yes. Okay. It wasn't committee reports from the board in general. It was just committee reports specifically relating to this one item. It's up to the president. I can address Ms. Dickinson's question if you'd like me to.
Sure.
The task one order from the CDM Smith, and it's a very good question, was specifically directed to do the geohydrological study. And the results of that study will determine the most feasible location for this, the extraction wells and things like that, and the portable unit. So that's the task order number one right now. Task order number two, which we're in the process of drafting up with CDM, will specifically address any required permits or applications. But you really can't move forward with task order number two until you identify a desirable and the most feasible location, because that will be directly related to the permits and the applications that you apply for. So to do anything prior to that is a little premature. I think the results of the geohydrological study will aid us in applying for those permits and those applications. And again, as I stated earlier, when those are applied for, we'll make sure that we're communicating those to the community and everybody knows what's going on. As far as the equipment that goes that's been, out there at the ponds, I'm not aware of anything. One thing that we did do is we did contract with the local contractor to go in and do some surveying, and that required a couple days of machete work and some equipment to get in there and to cut down some of the debris so we could get some topography and some surveying locations and things like that to assist us in the geohydrological study. So I'm not aware of any, but I'll check with Mike. I'm not aware of any big trucks or anything like that. There's no activity that I'm aware of going out there other than surveying work done by a local contractor.
Thank you. Ms. Rice has a report from the Coastal Commission and RAC.
I just wanted to quickly let you know I was at the Coastal Commission meeting yesterday, listened to the informational hearing on fracking. It was quite interesting. And if people want to see it, you can see it online, the meeting. It was very informational and quite interesting. And then I went again this morning to make a comment about the project that we're going to be working on, and just to kind of welcome them to the county kind of thing. The RAC committee, the Water Resources Advisory Committee, which advises the Board of Supervisors on water-related issues, meeting on February 5th. The item of interest to this board would be they're making revisions to the resource management system, which is what they use to determine the growth rate for communities in the county. And so I'm reading through that and making some comments, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, I'd like to bring the comments to the board and see what the board thinks, and maybe even we could send them on if the board agrees with those comments, if that's agreeable. I mean, otherwise I'm going to send them in as an individual person, but I'd like to get your input on that. So
sure, I'd like
that's
to,
all.
I'd like to report as an individual too, if we so if you can share that, I'd appreciate it. Ms. Robinette.
Just a question for clarification. Are we on some of the public comment, if we had something that we wanted to comment on, are we doing that?
You know, I think we can. We just can't make any kind of decision. If it's not on the agenda, we can't share information that would lead us to make a decision different down the line.
Yeah.
We just have to be careful. But if under that guidance, I think you can say anything you want.
Okay, thank you.
I urge to do so.
There were, as there are, I think, always interesting comments that we hear, and always, you know, certainly we have some useful things that we need to reflect on. The one that I'm just kind of curious about, and I know this would have to go on another time, an agenda, but just kind of to acknowledge it, I do think as we've moved into this, level three emergency that we're in, that's when, of course, we really begin to examine a couple of things that came out today. One, on the businesses and their 20% reduction, that's one that comes to mind. I just wish we could, by now, begin to really think about, is it possible ever to, I'll use that as one example, to take a better look maybe on the last 3 years and see, with conservation and the focus we've had, have there been businesses that have actually already reduced 33% and then some? I just think, it is always difficult when one size fits all. So that would just be a thing I'm interested in. I think also on looking at the way we do residential, where we're taking now the 2 units per person per month, and that does result in about a 33% reduction there, that I would think business, if we could see that some businesses are already in the last 2 or 3 years reducing to 33%, we should at least know that. But the other thing is sometimes, again, on the residential, and it's true, we now have a family of, say, 5 that can have 10 units. And I've had people with families that have 5 in their family and said, for 10 units, I would have to use more water, not less. So, I think we have to look to the ratios and relationships of those quantities and make sure that it's really doing what we want it to do. So that would be one thing. And the other one, and again, I don't know, I'll just respond to this one. On the question of we're moving forward on the, on the brackish portable desal, because, of course, there's nowhere else that we're kind of looking at. Where are we going to produce water? How are we going to produce water? We don't have, with the rainy season the way it is, we have to find water somewhere. And so the question was, well, what will happen if we find, for whatever reason, that we're just simply not able to do that? So I think that we should, because I do feel that we have, as a board member personally, I think we look to that, we want that to be the best way to keep this community certainly supplied in water for the health and safety and welfare of the community. But what if the worst case happened and that wouldn't work? I think we have a couple of other things still that we would, certainly in a dire situation in the state of California, rather than just running out of water and nowhere to go, I think that let's take one step at a time. But I do want to say that we wouldn't stop at that. I mean, if we couldn't do it, that wouldn't be like, well, it's over. That's just personal opinion, by the way.
Thank you. One thing that I might add on this reduction of water, legal counsel isn't here, but we only have the authority to stop waste of water. We can't tell somebody, once they have the water, what they can do with it. The water waster, or the waste of water, is outdoor irrigation. That's pretty much it. The studies that were talked about last month, that we're going from 12 units down to 8, really, the 12 units was based upon 2.4 people, not just 2 people. And so we're not reducing really 33%. We're reducing 33% from a comfortable living standard. So it was brought up that I think it was Mr. Butterfield said that, it was 2.4 people use 12. Well, 2 people are using 8, so it's not really a 30% reduction. It's only about 15. But nonetheless, without getting into the numbers, the families, there's enough for human consumption, usually. A lot of people would actually, like you said, raise the volume of use, and businesses don't have the option to reduce it, unless they have outdoor irrigation. Perhaps that's a different issue. And there's all different kinds of businesses. There's a business that just has an office, and there's a business that has a restaurant or a grocery store. So, and not only that, to talk about future agenda items, and maybe we should do it at the end of this month, there are other people that have vacation rentals, and there's people that have vacation rentals and they aren't really licensed and so on and so forth. So we should really try and address that. This will be an ongoing process. If this goes on until July, August, and September, and we don't have an adequate supply of additional water, it's going to become critical for everyone. So that was just a general comment, and I shouldn't be making general comments. Mm-hmm. If anybody else, Mr. Merle, if you have a general comment, go for it.
Well, I wanted to make a comment regarding committee reports on the committee, but as a general comment, the popcorn from the Veterans Hall is starting to smell pretty good up here. I don't know if you can smell it out there. I wanted to make it clear that the Water Ad Hoc Committee has met and has had telephone conversations with some of these agencies and such. And I also want to make it clear that the Water Ad Hoc Committee has asked staff to focus very tightly on just our property and our need right now. So, yes, there were plans for running pipelines all over the place and doing a lot of maybe regional type things, but that is not the focus of the Water Ad Hoc Committee at all. It is a laser focus to use our property to solve our problem in the temporary situation that we're in, and whatever the permanent solutions are later on, that's another discussion and another time.
Can I ask a question for the Water Ad Hoc Committee? Are we still pursuing the possibility of using SR 1 and 3?
Is yes. That,
so we're focused on the local, but we're also still working on that alternative there?
Yes.
And what about, have we talked to the ranchers and see if they would even have any water that we could get from them?
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, but they're in the same aquifer we are.
I completely understand that, but, I mean, I just was curious if we pursued that at all.
Well, let's move on. There you go. I mean, we're smelling popcorn already. So regular business, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to address 5B first. 5B being ad hoc or goals, and Mr. Gruber, I think agrees the fact that we're trying to just concentrate on three things. One, obviously, we need a rate adjustment. We need it not only to help with our infrastructure and pay for things in the long run, but we need to simplify and make sure that our charges are being adequately moved, balanced between residences and businesses, etc. So, and it requires a lot of different things, and we need feedback on whether these are good goals. There's other things that we can do, but if we focus on these three things, we can at least have something done. Any comments?
I like the limited number for sure. There's two specific things that I think the board could benefit from examining, and I don't know that they necessarily should be added to this list, but be kept in mind as we work on these particular projects, as the general manager and staff works on these projects. One is, it would be a really good idea if we finally defined what do we mean by enough water, what do we mean by reliable, because there isn't really a clear definition of what do we mean by that. And the second thing is it would be really nice, the policies and procedures for the district, especially also for the board. We still have bylaws to do. We don't have any policies on media relations or interagency relations or policies on the way that committees should be put together. We don't have a training program for new board members, and we may have an election where we may have new board members. I'm not sure if you gentlemen are going to be running or not. And then also that, you know, I would like to make sure that we don't lose track of that, because the general manager has a lot on his plate, but we also have a lot to do in terms of examining what are the policies that should be guiding the actions that are going on.
I appreciate that, and I agree. And as board members, we should work on that kind of thing so that the general manager can be doing general manager stuff, and as things come up, and we make a decision, we should make sure it's a policy, and then it's backed up by the other items you're talking about. I appreciate that. Mr.
Yes, Mr. President. I think that given the nature of the issues that should be first and foremost this year, I think certainly the water supply and rate adjustments are going to take up a great deal of time. And although there are other issues that are important, as Director Rice suggested, I think if we maintain our focus on specifically those two and also deal with the East Ranch issues, I think that would give us enough to go forward with at this point in time.
Ms. Robinette?
Thank you. Well, I too think that in terms of being effective and really using everybody's time and energy to the best, I think, result and advantage, less is more here today, because it just happens that, you know, you can have so many good, important goals, but you find at the end of the day or the end of the year, you look back, and really not too much progress has been made then on the goals. So I certainly think the three that are identified here are very important, and I certainly don't see them as priority ranking here, because obviously the emergency water is the priority ranking number one, but we have three important things. But I do agree with Director Rice also that if and when we see that we have, you know, perhaps check one of these off or some are being addressed, that we would like to then maybe revisit what else is still out there and we need to go forward. But getting these done first would be really my priority.
I might say that we could reduce it to two and have the number one and two be ways of achieving the goal, and the goal being expanding the reliability of our water supply, because having rates that actually reflect the actual usage and help people understand better how much it costs us to get the extra water, so the rate adjustments would fall under the expanding the reliability of our water supply, as would, you know, getting the alternative water supply. So then we would have two goals, and it would be even more achievable that way.
I like one, and we'll do them both. Ms. Dickinson, do you have a comment?
Yes, unfortunately for all of you, I always have a comment, right? Sorry. On the goals for 2013, two of your goals that you actually implemented, and I put a big question mark on lifting the water moratorium. You cannot lift the water moratorium. Water Code 350, the governing body of a distributor of a public water supply, whether publicly or privately owned, and including a mutual water company, may declare a water shortage emergency condition to prevail within the area served by such distributor whenever it finds and determines that the ordinary demands and requirements of water consumers cannot be satisfied without depleting the water supply of the distributor. To what you'd like to do, off-stream storage being a possibility?
Possibly, yes. What does that have to do with anything that we did in September? Well, anyway,
I'm just saying that those two items that you prioritized have gotten us where we are today, and they didn't have to happen, and I think you need to rescind them. The other thing is, if rate, you're looking at rates, I would hope that a rate structure would be looked at before you ever think of just increasing the rates. I mean, right? Do I have that right? Because you know what's going to happen, don't you?
Thank you for your comments.
And one other thing, yes, President Berenger. I have 1 minute and 18 seconds left. I love that clock.
I started late.
I love that clock. Okay, so the other thing would be, I brought to the public's attention off-stream storage. You guys, some of you have looked at it, the Clyde Warren site. There's nothing better that we could go for. And I'm going to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, because it makes the most sense of any off-stream storage solution that we have. And I wish you'd spend some of the money that you gave $500,000 to CDM Smith to start some tests. Mr. Warren had some studies done. Why don't you guys look at the next set of studies? I would love for you to do that, talk about cooperating. That would be fabulous. And I think that's a really good thing to do. Go for it. That's what I'm asking. Thank you.
Mr. Blanc?
Thank you. There were a couple comments made that relate to geology, and I just wanted to mention that I'm a registered geologist, a certified engineering geologist, a certified hydrogeologist, and a licensed geophysicist here in the state of California. Is anyone else up here got any of those licenses, or even engineering? Okay. I didn't think so, because I heard some comments earlier that I wanted to clarify for you. There was a comment by Mr. Gruber that they were going to be working out of the aquifer in San Simeon Creek. There is no aquifer in San Simeon Creek. San Simeon Creek's water is creek underflow. That's all that it is. I spent 20 years also working for the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So this is an area of my expertise. So it's just creek underflow under San Simeon Creek. And there was also comment that the farmers would be pumping out of the same aquifer by Mr. Beringer. Again, there is no aquifer, but in the stream there are pockets of alluvium. There are also places where the bedrock rises to the surface, such as Palmer Flat. Palmer Flat is a bedrock divide between the alluvium where the CCSD pumps and where Mr. Pedotti's wells are. There is additional water up in Mr. Pedotti's alluvial area that we do not have access to.
Thank you. Can we move on to five? Oh, do we have another one? Did somebody get a slip in the last second? No, okay.
Can we get the fan turned off? Is that possible? It's very distracting, the way with the light.
So let's go to 5A then, consideration of standing ad hoc committees and appointing board members to those committees. And I guess this is a little old. I'll kind of lead the discussion, if you don't mind. And I'm kind of against committees in a way. I think the general manager should be doing what he's doing, and as Director Rice mentioned, we should be setting policy. But one of the most important things that we do is manage the budget. So I would not that we have to have either public or private committees, but I would like to see if we could get Ms. Robinette to, Director Robinette, to continue to make sure that if there's any budget issues that they're reviewed prior to for them coming to the board. And if you would take that as a task, if you needed additional support from another board member, you could feel free to choose someone that might have an interest in doing that. But other than just assigning a director to bird dog that position, I don't think we need a standing committee of any type. Is that something that would be acceptable to you?
Yes.
Okay, then there's a water alternatives committee. We've had this water ad hoc committee going on for quite some time, and we have a very strong amount of information that's been going on to study our streams and not our aquifers. Director Clift has been very good and helping focus us on our particular project, and I would like him to continue to be the person that continues to monitor and make sure that we're laser focused on producing water for Cambrians, and at least doing some outreach and studying what we might be able to do for some limited storage. So it's kind of an ad hoc committee, and I'd like to see it remain Mr. Clift and Director Robinette. If that would be acceptable, I'd appreciate that. And then a conservation committee, I don't know what that would do. We should have conservation reports and so on and so forth. Shared resources. We spent a lot of time with shared services between the CCSD and the CCHD, and Mr. Thompson was involved in that, and I appreciate that. But I think right now we're focusing on other things that are more important. We want to make sure that we don't defocus our efforts. If for some reason there's a grassroots effort and CCHD and CCSD want to get together, I think if we wanted to run maybe a public forum, maybe try and find out if we should be doing it at all, then I would have Director Thompson take that, or people have issues with it could go to Director Thompson, but I don't think it needs an ad hoc committee at all. Utilities Infrastructure Committee really doesn't require a committee as much as it needs to be folded into our rate study. Obviously, we're going to have to identify all the utilities and the improvements that we're going to make. So that's part of the rate study, and I don't think we need a special committee for it. Administrative procedures, Mr. Director Rice, if you and I can kind of throughout the year make sure that we're putting any decisions we're making into policies and making sure we got that policy manual back out, et cetera. But that's not necessarily a goal, but it's something that we can work together with, if you'd appreciate that. And then PROS, Recreation and Open Space, and Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. I know that Director Thompson has been on the NCAC. He's very close to FFRP and some other people. So if he could take on the effort of making sure that we get something done on the East Ranch, I think I'd appreciate that. So from a goals perspective, we have Mr. Thompson as far as the seeing that the East Ranch happens. We have alternative water supply, both short-term and long-term, with Mr. Clift and Director Robinette. And if I could have Director Rice head the rate study, I think that one is a very challenging thing. And I think that there's a lot to be done there. Later on in the agenda, we're going to be approving a Bartles and Wells study. And I would think that, especially during this time of emergency, it would be wise for us to have a couple of meetings a month. This is a second meeting. We're going to have our normal meeting at the end of the month. But I would suggest that if we can, the middle of March, we not only update people on what's going on with our emergency water supply, but maybe we can focus and get a town hall meeting, so to speak, so that the citizens can come up. So before Bartles and Wells goes down the line of creating a whole new rate, we should have input from the public that determines, you know, what the businesses need, what kind of rates we have, what kind of scale we're looking at, et cetera. And so public input is, I think, it would be wise to be done early on. So perhaps in the middle of March we have a meeting. We have our regular meeting at the end of March. In April, maybe at the middle of April, we have an update either on the ranch or on the alternative water supplies that we're looking at, or storage or whatever, so that, we have something in April. So, and then until this crisis is over, which we hope, if we have a miracle march, it's still not over. We still have things we have to do, but a miracle march would be nice. So that's kind of what I was thinking as far as board assignments. And if anybody has any comments or wants to say no. With that, what would you prefer, discussion or public comment first? Why don't you, please, Ms. Dickinson, followed by, no, okay.
Tina Dickinson, board, I think you've heard from so many people from the community over the years that they really are against ad hoc committees. We would really have a preference, as you know, for standing committees. I think just about everybody's ever got up and spoken on it. If the board and staff really want to convince us that they want to be more transparent, this is the way to go, and that we have minutes recorded, you simply have to start showing us that you really want us to be a part of what's going on. I appreciate the fact that you might want to go to two meetings, President Berenger, during this process. But I would suggest that maybe one of those meetings be at the 12:30 time, but the one be a little later, because a lot of folks work. In fact, I know here today are some folks who actually work in San Luis, and they made it here for the meeting, but they had to take some time off. Or, you know, it's difficult. I know Cambrians for Change, when we had our first meeting at 5:30, we had a full house. We had an even bigger one on a holiday, but the evening ones seemed to really bring a lot more people.
For me to gauge anything, if I don't have at least one other board member, which we can only have two, or we have a quorum, so it's really helpful for me when we have a committee meeting to have that discussion with another board member. Also, two heads are better than one. It's easier to have a back and forth. Even in preparing for this item today, I
talk to somebody about it so that I could kind of get it out, put it in words, and that's how I process. And it concerns me. It concerns me that you have a very narrow perspective if you have one person. Now, I don't know why. The main question I really want to know is what's the issue with the committees that you think that it's better if we don't have committees? Because a lot of boards have committees and it works for them. And we can reduce the amount of time in the meetings if we have committees, especially for more complicated things like the budget, and so people can drill down into the detail. I also ran on a platform and continue to be supportive of standing committees, especially for important things like budget, especially for important things like anything that's related to the water alternatives. And it troubles me a bit that I trust my fellow board members may not be these same people soon, and we have no policy on the way that committees should be formed. I don't have a problem with each of the people who's agreed to take on that task being, say, the committee chair, and they get to pick their partner for the committees. But I think we did say that at some point we said that the utilities and infrastructure committee would be a standing committee. I think it's important because we need to look at what we're doing on our maintenance. I think it's really important that we're going to have to figure out. The general manager is going to tell us which things have to be done in which order. That's not the policy we have to figure out. But we do have to be looking that we're doing the oversight that we were elected to do, which is to make sure that we are getting the things done that need to get done. I just want to know what issue are you trying to solve? Because I think that if there's an issue with the committees, the purpose of a committee is for two members of the board and potentially public to have a discussion and to bring policy considerations to the board, options that the full board can then discuss and decide on. And instead of having a six-hour meeting, we can hopefully cut it down. Now, we're still not getting to that point where we're where we're having that situation where we've got the meeting shorter because the committees are actually bringing forward recommendations like, well, let's pick this one or this one, and here's why this one, here's why this one. Then the board can have a discussion, and it saves the board some time. The committees are for the board and not for the staff. I have trouble with just kind of wholesale saying no more committees. Okay. I also hope that on the next agenda we have a new meeting calendar, because I definitely think it's a great idea to have two meetings, one that's maybe a more of a business meeting, one that's maybe more focused on a particular policy, because I do think that by the end of 5 hours it's really a long...
Well, I appreciate the point, and you've got me convinced. I think that... What we should do is, I'm going to suggest, because I do think that the Finance Committee, I've never seen it, you know, I just know that a couple of directors have been working on it. It's not like it's a standing committee that people, even though it's a standing committee, I've never seen public outreach with it. But if Mr. Clift would like to join Ms. Robinette and stay on the Budget Committee, I'd appreciate that. And I'm trying to put people in charge of goals, and if we have three goals, one for sure is this rate study, and that
which I'm
effort.
More than happy to.
And that, and would you, if you would like to suggest someone that you'd like to join you on a standing committee, and this particular meeting, this particular issue does require public outreach. It should be in the afternoon. We should have multiple standing committee meetings, and if you would like to work with a certain. Board member, I'd accept your suggestion.
I don't know if there's a board member that is interested in joining that committee. You win, Michael.
Mr. Thompson.
I
could do it too.
I share some of Amanda's feelings about the notion of committees. I think on issues like the budget, it's important that. That it has some review before it gets to the full board, whether it's a full board review or what have you. But I think it needs to be massaged before it comes to us for final approval. I also think what's important, and I like to see, as suggested, and I think as we've suggested before, that
own committee as time goes on for the East Ranch. If that's clear, let's move on. We don't have any more slips. We're going to 5C.
We didn't discuss the NCAC, or did we?
Well,
we
Mr.
Need to
Thompson
do
will be representing the will be our representative at the NCAC because it goes along with FFRP, etc.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear that.
One of the problems I have, Mr. Beringer, on that is that I'm on the executive committee of the American Legion, and they also meet at the same time, and so I'd have to regretfully pass on that.
I will try and fill in as much as possible, but my hope is that the NCAC becomes, they work with land use and they're making recommendations to Mr. Gibson. If they think that they need CCSD cooperation, they can come to us. I'll try and attend as much as possible, but they have a different function entirely. So, but when it comes to PROS, that's different. We're trying to build the ranch. So. I don't think we have to be NCAC-oriented necessarily. Now can we move to 5C, discussion of scope of services and financial plan and rate study by Bartles and Wells Associates.
Thank you, President Thompson and board members.
Yes, Beringer, that's a fine.
That's the second time I've done that in two months. So I figure by the time you're ready to get, by the time Vice President Robinette becomes president, I'll get it right. So I... thank you, President Beringer,
yes.
And board members. Before I talk about this really quickly, I just wanted to answer Tina's question with regards to the evaluation of the current rate structure. Absolutely. I think that's the key component. If you look at our existing rate structure, it needs to be incorporated into this. So just quickly, the fiscal impact, $30,000 was budgeted as part of this year's budget for water. The reason the majority of the rate study will be focused on water, although a portion of it will be wastewater also. And then $15,000 was budgeted in the fiscal year under wastewater. The larger amount budgeted is the water budget represents a larger percentage of the time it will be spent evaluating the district's current water rates. The proposal from Bartles, Wells and Associates is not to exceed $44,000. Therefore, there's sufficient funds within the existing budget to get this done. We've discussed before that Bartles, Wells and Associates is a recognized industry leader in the rate studies and financial planning. Since they have in-depth knowledge of the district, they will be able to incorporate their knowledge from previous two studies in the water and sewer financial plan and rate study. So the previous two studies they did was our master fee schedule that Director Thompson was referring to, and then the connection fees that they did. So there's a lot of historical data that they have there. If you look at the proposal, and let me just go over the three key points that they'll be focusing on, and this is also a financial plan. It's also to help us understand within the next 10 years infrastructure needs and what those needs are going to cost, and making sure that those needs are incorporated into the rate study and financial plan. One of the things that we've done in the last couple years is relook at our CIP list, and District Engineer and myself have redone that and looked at all the lift stations and the tanks and reservoirs and pumping stations and all those things. But I also think it's important that, and as I work with Alex, that we don't throw everything in there but the kitchen sink. I think that's problematic. I've done these before, and I think that we use the word laser focus. We need to really be focused on our highest priorities. I know that three or four of them come to mind as I'll go through this. But so he talks about developing a long-term financial plan, and that's develop a 10-year financial plan for the district's water and sewer enterprise. Evaluate rate structure alternatives. That would be evaluate the district's water and sewer rate structure and identify alternatives or modifications to better achieve district objectives while meeting the legal requirements of Proposition 218. Incorporate district input and build consensus for recommendations, and that's important. Throughout the project, we will work closely with the district to identify and evaluate alternatives and their impacts, gain ongoing impact, and build consensus for final recommendations. Our proposal includes two progress meetings with staff and two board workshops. I think we might probably need more than two board workshops, so I'll work with Alex on that. Just really quick, there's a few things that I want to go over. It has tasks, just like our CDM work. Task one is a project initiation of data collection. Task two is a 10-year utility enterprise financial plan. Some of those things include developing forecasts and projection, cost escalation factors, long-term capital repair and replacement. I don't want to go over all of them because there's quite a few. Task C is water and sewer rate structure alternative. One of the things is availability of fees. So I feel really comfortable with the work that Alex has done in the past for us. Also, he includes all the cities and municipalities and special districts that he's done this for before. A lot of cities: Huntington Park, Morgan Hill, Palmdale, Modesto, Milpitas, several sanitary districts, Apple Valley, things like that. So with that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that the board may have about the proposal in front of us.
I just have a really quick question. We approve this scope of work. What's the effect if we need to change something that's in this? Not today, but as we're progressing.
Such as additional meetings, I like that. As I indicated earlier, we still have about $4,000 left in the existing budget. So I would work with Alex and see what that would cost. I don't see a problem with that. It would probably be in an addendum form to the existing proposal or agreement. It wouldn't be a new agreement necessarily. It would have to come to the board. It's been my experience in doing rate studies that they can start out at a set price, and if you don't manage them, they can go on for an extended period of time and can cost a considerable amount more than what was originally proposed. And so I think that that's a really important variable that we need to, just like any other consultant, I'm not saying that they would do that, but we just have to be careful that what we ask for, we understand there's probably a cost associated with that, so I could work with Alex on that.
Thank you. Any other questions for the general manager?
The only other question, I just want to make sure, because it's only in one place in this report, July 1st is the expected date of having it finished.
It's a pretty aggressive timeline, and I talked to Alex about that, and it just depends on what else we have going on, but he feels comfortable with getting it done by then.
And then the hope is that we can have that first workshop as early as next month. That would be great.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm hearing from the board is March, and that would consist of him providing information to you and also soliciting information from the public on what they would like to see incorporated into it. But between now and March, we'll be getting a lot done. And
sure.
So he can bring you up to speed on what we've got done.
On that same item, I noticed the letter here is November 12, 2013. So is that July date based on thinking he was going to get going sooner? Can we just double check on those dates, please?
Yes, that's a good point. That's when we originally, you know, things happen, and here it is February. And I think you're right. I did receive the proposal from him in early November. I think December we decided not to put it on there in January for some reason because of the length of the agenda. So that's a very good point. I'll check on that and see if it will go till. That would put it out another 2 months, which would be August.
And one of my concerns was that we might make decisions here within the next 3 or 4 months that might have effect on short term or long term rates. I don't see, you know, an extra 2 months, because I guess what I don't want to do is have him rush to the July 1 date. Then we have still some concerns, and then we're into that area where we're talking about added fees.
And if I could comment, that was when I was reviewing the meeting today, that was my concern. We have what I don't want is to have two seriously important things running concurrently right now, because we're clearly in the middle of hopefully resolving and having the the supplemental supply of water that we're hoping is online in July. That's where our target is. This is also equally a very important function, the rate study, and so it, to me, would seem like I would like a progress report each time we meet on moving toward implementing the brackish water portable desal. I think that is our number one thing that we're really focused on. But again, I think it's a wise point too. The rate study could be a little more delayed and have more time to really focus and think on it, because some of the things that will come even out of perhaps the Water Alternatives Committee is next steps, and that may have an awful lot to do with what determines the rate study. Right. So I would recommend that we could almost take a breath on this one, slightly. Not to say it's not going to start, but because it...
things like that. So I don't see that being a problem, but I'll report up on my general manager report on the 27th, a conversation with Alex, and let you know that. In other words, if I was to say to Alex, can we take our time on this and make sure that we have input from the community, but also include any water alternatives that possibly may need to be addressed within this study, I'm sure that he'd be flexible regarding that.
Mr. Thompson, do you have something?
No, I was just going to. If there was no other discussion.
No, we have. Public
okay, then comments. I won't. I just like to point out that Bartle and Wells did the fee study. It's been pointed out they did a fine job, and so I would certainly heartily endorse their being involved in this.
So I have Mr. Blanc followed by Tina Dickinson.
Lou Blanc, I don't know how many times, both as a board member and as a citizen, I've heard people complain about more wasted studies. And now you're thinking about another one. Just be honest with the community and tell them that if you implement desal, their water bill will go up by 50 times. That's the rate study you're really talking about here. 50 times the water bill. Okay? You have opportunities to stop wasting money and do things that save the people of Cambria money. There is grant money available from the State Water Resource Control Board for wastewater repurification. For 17 years, we have heard promises from fellow board members when I was on the board that we would have federal grant money to build a desal. I haven't seen anything building a desal with federal money yet. I've seen more wasted studies by the Corps of Engineers. But there is grant money available and has been for 17 years for wastewater repurification from the State Water Resource Control Board. They've had an excess of that money in the state of California. Don't waste an opportunity.
Thank you. Tina Dickinson, followed by Daniel Krajcik. I mess that name up so bad all the time.
Certainly echo Mr. Blanc's comments. I've been doing a lot of reading up of... since the drought has been officially declared, and even before that, and I've mentioned it to you in previous board meetings, that state and federal monies will be available for repurification, for off-stream storage. This is where you need to be putting some money, folks. I really mean it. It just doesn't make sense not to. But going back to Bartle and Wells rate study, I don't know how many times we have to keep having a Black and Veatch, Bartle and Wells to figure out a rate study for Cambria. And I think you're going to really be hitting Cambrians big time with whatever it is you come up with. If it isn't fair, if it isn't equitable, On top of that, if you really are having the dream of a permanent desal plant, and the cost for every household, for every business, will be phenomenal. And you will, as I said earlier in the year, you will turn this into a ghost town. Because you may be happy to hear this, but I'm not going to stay here and pay those kind of water rates. You have 60% of this community retirement age. And I think you need to really seriously look at it. Because if you don't, I can honestly say there are folks in the community now who are willing to look at this rationally, reasonably, with a common sense approach. We have to do this. And we can't wait 30 more years for something to get done. And I'm so disappointed that those of you, especially one member of the board, who brought up off-stream storage, and some of you go look at a site that's perfect, and you just scrap it. You have not followed up with Mr. Warren. General Manager Gruber, to my knowledge, you or Mr. Greshens, or the three members who went on the site visit. I mean, what does it take? And I'd like to know what those two other sites, Director Cliff, you've mentioned twice now, for off-stream storage are. You've mentioned them. You mentioned last board meeting there are two other sites you're looking at. What are they? You know, Ms. Robinette came up with a couple of things today, but what are they?
Would you believe to how they were vetted? It concerns me to hear the general manager talk about them, like talk about Alex like he's best of chums. I've been through this before in Morro Bay, where you have consultants who approach city council. They want to charge $40,000 to $50,000 to do some sort of a study. I happen to have spent some time debunking one of those studies, which was a boilerplate. And having been a consultant for many years in the computer industry, I understand that if an organization like Bartles and Wells was capable of producing a study for the size of Modesto, that they should be able to produce one for Cambria in a fraction of the time for less money. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. McKinnon.
Four score and 16 months ago, this community brought forth a committee of dedicated citizens to revise or to give suggestions what this thing we're talking about, the rate schedule. I look at this board and I see four of the board members that sat on that committee. I look in the audience and I see several committee members sitting in the audience. If you reflect back on that, we had some very worthy, intelligent people in this town who studied the rates, gave up their time, put forth a presentation that was adopted by this board. Now, I understand what you're doing. You've got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. But please don't overlook your community. And thank you, Mr. Gerber, for suggesting community input. It worked before, and I think it could work again. Thank you.
Thank you. After that, we can bring it back to the board for any comments. I would like to make one comment before we get a motion for this, and that is that I would like to make sure that, well, one of the reasons we're using these guys is because it builds trust in the community that we're not just getting somebody of ours to do a study. These guys have done a lot for us in the connection fee study, so that they should be way ahead. I'm surprised it's going to take this much money. And whatever we do, we should make sure that we ensure equity between residential and non-residential rates, and we're going to change modifications to existing rate classes. And I would like to see something simple and monthly. Simple meaning you pay $1 for your first unit, you pay $2 for your next one, and $3 for the next one. If you look at our bills, they're ridiculous. You know, it's hard to figure out how much you're using or whatever, so I'd like to see it very progressive and in a very interesting manner. But I'll bring that up when we have those meetings. Director Robinette.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to just as an observation, I think it is really important that the conversations that we have, I think they're all intended to be helpful. I think everyone here wants to be helpful. But I know that the most helpful thing we can do is to have facts. That is for sure. And I do see the comments that were made regarding the cost of desal. We need facts. And I think then that really gives us something solid to look at. I'm not saying that I would really like to see some facts on that. I have some ideas on it. I think next steps, we're talking now next steps, and this all kind of just came under the umbrella of the rate study, but I think they do tie together. I know there has been talk of, you know, the off-stream storage. Those aren't possible today. We can't have that built, and we have no water to put in it. However, it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea in the future. And I would certainly say that it is. Underground storage might be a good idea in the future. So I would hope when people share their good ideas that we not just forget. But right now, we have, as we all know, a very serious challenge in our community. And we clearly are in deep need of solving that for the moment.
Director Rice?
I move that we approve Barrow Wells' proposal for water and sewer financial plans and rate studies and authorize the general manager to enter into an agreement with Barrow Wells and Associates.
Second.
Can I just speak to that really quickly?
Sure. Discussion?
I think I want to just address the concern.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Another comment?
Yeah, just to add, I think the standard also is that any time you're proposing rates and fees and so forth, you have to have a study to determine the relationship between what you're proposing and where you got the information from.
Right.
And so I you just can't pick out numbers from the air. You have to have some basis for making the adjustment.
Indeed.
And this is what we're paying them for, is to make that, do that study.
Any other comment?
May I just really quick?
Yes, sir.
I know you want to probably get going. You know, the genesis of this conversation started about 18 months or 2 years ago, like Jerry McKinnon indicated, and that was way prior to the drought. And the conversation started to really address the infrastructure needs of the community. And there are several things that I really want to focus on, and that's the rodeo grounds, and a lot of people have been over there and seen that. It's the main pumping station that brings water from one side of the community to the other. If you've ever been there, you know, we're living on borrowed time on that one. Stewart Street tank needs to be upgraded for fire flow protections. The Fiscalini tank right now is in really bad shape. It needs to be replaced. Our radio read meters are about 10 years old, and we invested money from the Chevron settlement out of that, and we need to make sure that we replace those and we have some kind of replacement plan. And then improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. The State Water Resources Control Board is going in a direction that is going to require us to change our effluent and update that plant. You're seeing it in Morro Bay, you're seeing it in Pismo Beach, where a secondary treatment facility right now without tertiary treatment, we talk about reclaimed water. We're also going to need to address the nitrate requirements of that plant. We currently have a plant that has 100 horsepower motors that run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with a monthly electrical cost of about $15,000 a month, and we've been doing that for 20 years. So if you think about all the money that we're spending on the wastewater plant, so those are six things that I really want to focus on, and I don't want to get out of the chute right away and say, well, this is going to be funding a desal plant and things like that. I think we all understand, because we had a slight rate increase a while back, and prior to that it was many, many years. To compound everything, we don't sell meters, we don't have connections, so we don't have that revenue coming in. So it's kind of the perfect storm. We've gone many years without adjustments. We don't sell connection fees, and so therefore the infrastructure has deteriorated significantly. The result of that is the sanitary sewer overflows that we've had in the last 7 years, and that's public knowledge. We've had 10 sanitary sewer overflows, category one, that resulted in a pretty significant fine, and the state is going to allow us to take a portion of that money and put it back into looking at the wastewater plant and making upgrades there. But some of those, and at least I don't know the majority of them, but some of them were directly related to the infrastructure needs that we have. One of the things that I didn't mention is we have 10 lift stations that are pretty much the original lift stations that were installed when this district was put into place back in 1976. They're outdated. They're below ground. They're confined space. And so just to replace those lift stations, and we need to replace them, folks, we really do, that's between probably about $2 and $3 million. So those are things that need to be done just right out of the chute, or at least come up with some kind of financial plan that Alex talks about here for the next 10 years that will give us a mechanism and a plan to address these things, because they need to be addressed. It's just like your house or your car. You can't keep living in it and keep driving it without putting some money back into it. Now, I applaud this board. Since I've been on board, they've been really supportive of me in the infrastructure improvements we've made. And I want to continue to do that. I want to continue to have a good infrastructure, a reliable infrastructure for our community. And I think that this rate study is going to help us look at how we're going to fund those. I am aware of the sensitivity about previous studies, especially relating to the Black and Veatch study. I think one of the fatal flaws with that was is that we tried to throw everything in there, and the original rate increase that was proposed was so astronomical that everybody kind of went, and it wasn't successful. But as we continue down this path, I want to be able to tell a story and point out things that I think need to be replaced, and show you pictures and have a process that says, yeah, Jerry, I agree with you. That lift station is lift station B behind my house on Huntington, matter of fact. It's the main lift station in town. We got to replace that, folks. We just have to. So I'll get off my soapbox, but just want to clearly state that we have a lot of infrastructure needs, and we got to, and also look at grants. I can appreciate what Mr. Blanc said about looking at grants, mm-hmm. and making sure that those are viable options also. But
and then I'll take public comment.
Thank you. Item 5D is the consideration of adoption of Resolution 06-2014 authorizing the general manager to seek an emergency coastal development permit from the county for an emergency portable brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, and request the Board of Supervisors priority assistance in expediting the process for such emergency permits. The recommendation is that the Board of Directors adopt the resolution, and I pretty much just said what I need to say on it. We don't see any fiscal impact, and this is derived from the decision that the Board made on January 30th, 2014. And that we believe it's a critical component of moving the development of an emergency water supply forward for the community. Thank you.
Okay, and I have three slips to speak. Mr. LeBlanc, followed by David Stuhoff. And of course, there you go.
This is the most important thing I'm going to say to you all day, and so I really hope that you understand precisely what I'm trying to tell you. At the last Cambrians for Change meeting, in front of board members Beringer, Clift, and Rice, who were there and discussed water alternatives for Cambria, I explained the fatal flaw of the emergency desal plant. Specifically, two items. The CCSD has no additional point of diversion other than the existing CCSD wells in the San Simeon Creek under your water rights permit. You can't put another well in and pump it into a desal unit under your current permit. Secondly, and more importantly, as I understand, the CCSD website indicates that 386 acre-feet of pumping from San Simeon Creek has occurred since May 1st when officially it was admitted that Palmer Flat wasn't flowing anymore. Under the water rights appropriation, you have, I believe, 370 acre feet since Palmer Flat stopped flowing, which means you exceeded your water rights to pump any water out of San Simeon Creek. If those numbers are accurate, you're going to have to prove that, because the State Water Resource Control Board is investigating. Therefore, there's no pumping allowed from San Simeon Creek under the water rights permit until flow starts again at Palmer Flat, which means you could not put water in a desal plant until you have fresh water flowing back in again that you can pump out of the wells we already have. So it's a total waste of community money to proceed with this desal. Approving 5D is a gross misuse of public funds. I want to make that clear. This board is obsessed with desal, which is why we have a water emergency. While cost-effective alternatives have been identified to the CCSD since 1997 to expand Cambria's water resources, and emergency water is available from Jan Podoti and Clyde Warren, who have additional water rights in San Simeon Creek that we could use right now. All we have to do is make an agreement with them. I did it before as a board member. You can do it again right now. And Ms. Rice
Please conclude your comments.
Yeah, Ms. Rice should be proud. She voted against this desal in the previous meeting because this is such a gross misappropriation of public funds that board members may be held personally liable. Thank you.
David Stutoff, followed by Mihaela Burton.
Hello, I'm David Stutoff. I'm a business owner and a homeowner in town. One of the things I did want to say is that with all of the back and forth, whether it's business or homes, I'm going to revisit that, but at least we're discussing things. You know, I'd rather be here, even with some of the interesting things that people are pointing out about other people. At least we don't have our heads in the sand like some of the rest of the county. So, that being said, I do want to address some of the other homeowners, where the 20% is going to come from, unless I go to paper plates. You know, there's just not. I can't shut off the bathroom, you know, since we closed the public bathrooms. I've had more people coming to me to use my bathrooms, and I run the risk as a business owner. They know that I have a bathroom, that I have a restaurant. They don't go into the clothing store and ask to use their restaurant. So I run the risk of, you know, telling them no. I don't know the cost of having the porta potties out there, but I do know that part of the success of this town is that you know, we live here. Part of our having an ambulance and having the services that we have is because we have viable businesses here. So part of my taxes, part of the bed taxes for the hotels, go to back into the community. So I think we should be careful about having a ghost town of empty shops and empty storefronts, because that will lower everybody's home equity. It lowers the whole thing. And I understand that there is, I'm almost done. I understand that there's an emergency, and I'm addressing it at home. I'm addressing it at work. But I don't know how certain businesses can reduce by 20%. When we're already doing, I'm not using water for things. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mihaela Burton, followed by Tina Dickinson.
Thank you. Well, first, I would like to say that the resolution that states that this is a brackish water this is not desalination of brackish water, and I don't know why the resolution states that. Brackish water is briny water that has more salinity than fresh water. What the technical memorandum says from the Army Corps of Engineers, and I know that this is not an Army Corps project, it's a CDM project that I think is a good idea, and maybe Lou Blanc is right about all the permits, and maybe it'll be a waste of money, and I'm naive, but I respect the bold and swift action that you took for an emergency. With that said, what the public needs to understand is this machine that you're going to lease or rent, this facility, is not just an RO machine. It's not reverse osmosis alone. It's advanced water treatment. It's the highest form of purification. It's a miracle machine. It can take water right out of your toilet and make it drinkable. But the health department also requires that it sit someplace for a certain length of time to be sure that it is pure. So to call this brackish water, I think that the resolution should really reflect what it says. It says, because the source water for this alternative concept is a blend of freshwater basin groundwater, percolated secondary effluent, and deep aquifer brackish water. Now, according to the technical memorandum, which I'm sure you've all read, because I read it, we may not even find the brackish water. So what we're treating is secondary effluent and mixing it up with the native water, which isn't desalination of the seawater. So I think the public is going to get confused that what you're doing is sticking a pipe out in the ocean using RO to desalinate, and that's not what this is. It's advanced water treatment plant that you're renting to treat this fusion of water. And I like the word fusion. I looked up all kinds of words. It could be amalgam, it could be blend, it could be composite, but it isn't just pure brackish water. So why are you calling it that in the resolution? I just want to, and then I'd like to also say, I hope you get all the permits. I think that it's daunting. The California Department of Health has rule after rule to be sure that we're not drinking viruses and bacteria and everything bad to kill us. And then it has to sit someplace for travel time, and I don't know where that's going to go. That's going to be the biggest impediment. If any of the public wants to read about this, I can send them the technical memorandum from the Army Corps of Engineers. It isn't on the website. Give me your email address and I'll send off the PDF. It's fun to read, lots of good charts and things. The last thing is that this is the emergency, but last 2 weeks ago, and I watched the tape twice, Director Cliff said that the alternatives for the permanent alternative water source, he said not all alternatives are still on the table, but when you read the technical memorandum, the Army Corps has really condensed it down, and there aren't a lot of things left on the table. But
we don't have brackish water. That's a lot of money to be finding out whether we do or we don't. A ton of money. But my question, and I really was thinking about this at the last meeting, what is the plan, A, if we did get a miracle February and March, if we were to get another 7 inches of water? What then? There was nothing in the language with CDM Smith that I saw in the contract that if there was a miracle March, as there was in 1991, we got through it. There's no need to be spending this incredible amount of money when General Manager has brought up infrastructure issues that are huge that need to be addressed. I totally agree with you. It's time these infrastructure issues were spent. We've got to spend money on them. But what happens if we get 7 more inches? We've had about 3, close to 3. What if we get, actually, to get Palmer Flats flowing, all we need is 5 inches, 5 to 6 inches. Okay? What if that happens? I saw nothing in there. If this happens, then what happens with this contract? So the other thing is, what is your plan between, if no rain comes, between now and July 1st? Where's the water going to come from? What's that plan? We haven't heard about it. So it's fine to say July 1st, but as we all know, there are a lot, as Margie from CDM Smith, the engineer, said, this is going to be a big challenge. These permits are not going to be just boom, boom, boom. And while Mr. Sanders, a former board member, may have written a letter, I have 42 seconds, yeah. May have written a letter on behalf of the board to Supervisor Gibson to get things expedited, and General Manager Gruber is trying to get things expedited in the permitting process, you still have some pretty major questions to answer. You haven't responded to Mr. Warren, who's now going to sell his water to the castle. The castle's out of water. Why are we not working with these guys? Mr. Podoti's offered to hard pipe in water. You guys are just like, forget those guys. They're the ones that could help you. Why do you refuse stubbornly to not go there? And I'm going to say again, Director Robinette, you were after off-stream storage. Now is the time. You don't hold off. You do it. Start it now. So in 2 to 3 years, we have it. And start doing the research that we've been doing. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Dean, I think you're later, right, after your... I read this as 6, meaning public comment, but if you'd like to comment now. Would you like to comment on this?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can expand your comments if you'd like. I'm sorry, but then I'm out of slips.
Okay. When you were talking about the rate studies and all of that, and we're talking about this emergency desal situation, I'm assuming what I heard was that you have the funds to go ahead and get this in place. But has a study been done on what the operating costs are going to be for treating this brackish water? Because I'm assuming that it's going to be quite expensive. And are we doing a study prematurely? Because I'm assuming if it's expensive as what I think it's going to be, we're going to have a rate increase on our water. So I just had that question there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. I think the just to comment, the... the information that was provided in the technical document does go into operational costs and what it's going to cost per acre foot, et cetera, for both a permanent and a temporary situation. It's going to be expensive. But we do have funds in the bank that we can spend in an emergency situation. I've always said that it's not the right thing to do is have desal as a permanent municipal source. It's too expensive. But we have this emergency, and we're going to deal with it the way we will. With that in mind, if not any other comments, I entertain a motion.
I would move the adoption of Resolution 06-2014 authorizing the general manager to seek an emergency coastal development permit from the county for an emergency portable, brackish water reverse osmosis treatment facility, and requesting County Board of Supervisors priority assistance in expediting processing for such emergency permits. And I would, you know, I'd like to say this is just a starting point. You got to start. So the starting point is to ask the county for a permit.
Right.
There's a lot of things that are going to be discussed along the way, but we got to start somewhere.
Because I'm not on that committee, I'm just asking, how far are we along to knowing that we can actually do that specific thing?
I believe that, and I'll just defer to Mr. Gruber after my initial comment, is that we know what the project's going to be. We just don't know exactly whether we're going to be drilling one or two wells, where we're going to be drilling the wells, et cetera. But the coastal development permit will cover a group of scenarios. And we hope that by mid-March we will know specifically exactly what we're doing. We do know there's some brackish. We don't know how much, or if previous studies have proven there is, but we don't know how much. So,
I just want to make sure that we're not specifying ourselves into a corner when we could just leave it a little more vague just by striking that one part of the...
Your comments, Mr. Gruber?
No, I agree with you. It needs to be as specific as possible, since it is an emergency local coastal.
But also general enough so that if we change something there, that it can do it. Yeah.
I just
And this gives us the enough flexibility based on, I mean, yeah. I'm just going based on the stuff I was reading.
Actually, there's a task that CDM Smith has that they're going to be applying for a group of these permits. We're trying to get in front of the in front of the train, so to speak.
We're asking for help from the county, saying, hey, we're coming with a permit.
Right.
Help us get it through so we can get it done.
It's the first one that's necessary to trigger all the others.
Right, which is fine. I just want to make sure we're not painting ourselves in a corner. That's all.
All in favor? So it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So it's passed. And Ms. Dean, public comment. Just prior to future agenda items.
I'm sorry, I got my numbers mixed up on the slip. I wanted to say that on my trip over here from Prather yesterday, I noticed that all of the Amber Alert signs along the highway, instead of saying Amber Alert or click it a ticket, all said extreme drought, help save our water. All of them. Now, I know you have someone here that drove up from San Diego. I don't know if she had the same experience. But I thought that was good. It was pointing out the statewide drought to the motorists on the road. I'd like to know why we can't have signs here on your way into Cambria letting the tourists know that may not have paid attention what kind of a drought we're in. I mean, I don't know if it's because we don't want the tourists to know it, you know, to affect business, but from the last meeting that we had here, it was obvious that there were quite a few people in the public that live here in Cambria that weren't aware of how dire our water situation is. I see the same thing from comments on the internet and letters to the editor. I also notice that I personally have not gotten a mailing yet on the new water restrictions. Is the CCSD going to send mailings out to the people with the new restrictions that are put on? I'm running across people still that don't know what's going on. I think those drought signs on the highway are great. And I just wondered about putting signs at the entrances to town or maybe here and there in town so people are a little more careful with water.
Excellent point. And we should try and find track down why you have. I've gotten the mailings several times. Some people don't even, you know, I don't know.
I know there's people that don't even look at the inserts in their bills, but I understand we've had doorknob hangers printed out. Can the doorknob hangers be brought around to the neighborhoods? Maybe you've got some community spirit-minded students that are willing to volunteer to put the doorknob hangers on, so the people who live in town who still, for some reason, don't know what's going on will know what's going on.
Thank you. Okay. Susan Shales, followed by Tina Dickinson. She almost didn't fill her card out.
Good evening this time, not good afternoon. I can confirm that the Amber Alert signs all the way north on 405 do say something about the drought. I can confirm that we have not received in our water bill any notice from CCSD about any rate increase, any emergency condition, anything going into effect effective March 1st. I will also say that I did not hear an explanation about the 168,000 gallons that were lost less than a week ago, or the 265,000 gallons that were lost from, I think, the same place in October. I waited. Also, the general manager spoke about rebates being available. I think that one of the reasons they might not have been used is because many residents already had low-flow toilets, already had low water usage washing machines. We put them in at our own expense with no rebates years ago. So if the board is going to consider in the rate increases the historical use of businesses, I think the same should be done for residents. And also I heard the president speak about people who rent their homes without a license. We don't rent our home, but
the thing I want to mention is our water production level for December, the water production for December was 54.22 acre feet. For January, it was 63.80. How is that possible? How is it possible that in October we could be using 53, November around the same, but then in January we use 60, almost 64 acre feet. Now, is that because of losses due to the CCSD's leakages? What is causing it? I mean, we've lost so much water because of issues with CCSD, huge leaks. So, you know, you can preach and all you want to the community, but you better start getting your act together with the infrastructure. I'm serious, because these are 500,000 gallons of water almost lost in just 2 or 3 huge leaks. So I find it pretty astounding that we've gone up, 9 acre feet in 1 month, when we're all trying our hardest to conserve. So what's going on?
Thank you. And an additional comment, is it for Susan Celeste? Seeing no more slips.
Thank you. Yeah. This is what happens when you get up at 3:50 in the morning to attend. But something Tina said reminded me of my point about the business and the residential. I didn't want anyone in the board or the audience to misunderstand my point, because I think we're all in this together. And, for example, we had guests that were due to visit us the weekend of March 8th and 9th. They're not coming now. And they're not coming because I don't think we can handle 2 more people in the house. Same thing the end of March. I have my best friend from elementary school who was supposed to come out and visit. She's still coming to California, but she's not coming here. So that's people who are not eating at the restaurant. That's people who are not buying things in our stores. So it's we're all in this together. But I think that the way the rates are looked at in terms of usage needs to be done a little more carefully to understand, because if people don't come visit us as homeowners or visit the hotels, there's not going to be anybody eating at the restaurants.
Thank you. Seeing no more comments, does anybody have anything pressing for a future agenda item?
Not pressing, but I was just going to say my sister and her 2 children and 2 grandchildren are proposing to visit in April, and I'm telling them to shower before they get here and then shower again when they leave and take their dirty clothes home. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, taking dirty clothes home makes sense.
The revised meeting calendar maybe should come back at the next meeting.
Sure. Okay, good point.
And I'd like to have the bylaws, but I don't know how weighted down the next meeting is. Also, it might be good, I don't know how the rest of the board feels about this, but it might be nice to see water billed for and water produced, especially in a situation where it seems to be going up even though we've put on restrictions.
Right. Good point.
Not on the agenda. I just wanted to respond to one of the public comment. Just a observation again, Karen, when you were sharing, and I appreciate that very much. I think that is certainly one thing that is something that we look at to do better, and that is public awareness. I do agree with you. We can all find people just right here in our community that still need to know better things, and so I appreciate you bringing that up. And certainly it is a California drought, a Western United States drought. And so people need to know it's not just Cambria, it's not just Willits, it is certainly across the state. But back here at home, I think it's really important that we look at as many different ways to get the facts out, to keep people current, up to date with progress we are making, what we are doing, and have them have ways to be part of the solution. And I want to comment just back on what Harry had said much earlier in the day. And I think that is, too, the helpful kinds of things that people are doing that do save water. I know I went out and bought, I have many buckets now, let me tell you. They're fashionable blue, they look good, but I'm already getting tired of them because we are, you know, collecting a lot of water. But the real key is, what can we be doing to not have to even have that much water collected? What can we do to reduce the water out of the tap in the first place? And I know there are some other nice things going on to involve people in the community. I just will share this. Stephanie, Stacy, and I have talked about involving the school, the after-school program with
Wisconsin everyone's comments. So thank you, and we'll adjourn to closed session.